Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Word is getting out since that wedding incident that this man Jesus is something else. Now he goes to his hometown synagogue and is asked to read from the Holy Scriptures. This is a scroll that he likely read from as he grew up, from child to adult. He knows it well. He unrolls the scroll and reveals to us a succinct outline of his purpose and the Spirit-anointed plans. In the economy of Jesus, there is good news for those who need it most. Today, we will hear the word from the fourth chapter of Luke, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returns to Galilee, and a report about him spreads all the surrounding region. He begins to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he returns to Nazareth, where he has been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all of the attendants at the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. So we would continue our worship series on the economy of Jesus. We began with the six stone jars in which water was turned into wine at the beginning of his ministry as a sign and a symbol of the transformation of a community into abundant life. But this takes understanding our purpose, not as those who simply take care of our own, but those who especially are called to alleviate suffering in this world, bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So today we hear Jesus lay out his purpose plans clearly. It is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of freedom from the oppressed. Ched Myers, an American theologian specializing in biblical studies and political theology, says this of the setting of tone of this text. Nazareth really wasn't a big deal. It was a small village that isn't mentioned outside the New Testament. It is part of a region of Galilee, an agrarian blue-collar community. In Galilee, you grow food that gets frequently exported elsewhere to prominently Gentile communities like Tyre and Sidon, to the north, or it's shipped from one of the parts of the Sea of Galilee to another large shipping town. Nazareth was near a much larger population named Sepphoris. it's the capital of the region. After Hebron the Great dies, Sepphoris is sacked. And the response? The Roman authorities retaliate and sold the Jewish survivors for their counterattack into slavery. After Herod the Great dies, Herod's son Antipas orders that Sepphoris be reconstructed and renamed Autocraticus, or belonging to the emperor. All of this happens during Jesus' childhood and life before his ministry. As a carpenter working with his father, it is possible that Jesus was part of Sepphoris' refurbishment. The context helps us to understand the real constant and dangerous online tension between Jesus' Jewish community and their Roman occupiers. It gives us a deeper taste of the yearning many of Jesus' community had for the Messiah, who was more like a conqueror general who would put Rome in their place. You see, Luke is setting the stage for a highly dramatic moment. Following the traditions of synagogue worship, in which adult worshipers would be invited to read the scripture and offer comment, the already popular Jesus takes his place in his hometown synagogue. He unrolls the scroll, finds its intended text, and it reads our scripture today. It is a passage from the servant's songs. And he begins, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me." This anointing refers to his commission by the Spirit to serve as Christ and Messiah. The prophetic text is a vehicle for announcing the character of his mission, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. And finally, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this text is pivotal in the church season. After Advent and Christmas, after Epiphany and the baptism of the Lord, it is time to proclaim and interpret the Galilean ministry of a grown-up Jesus. So Jesus appears in the public scene, kind of Epiphany style. The gospel reading of this Sunday is a strong statement of the mission and of Jesus's mission and his focus. The gospel reading also states the mission of the Messiah to those marginalized by the kingdoms and the systems of the world. This public inaugural appearance of Jesus is the proclamation of the contents of which he comes to do. He again reminds people of the work of good news to the poor, the release of captives, to feed the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is not a countless mission or a feel-good form of spirituality. Jesus' mission is focused and specific, rooted in a profound identity of his people and his tradition, made all the more clear by his quoting of the strong prophetic source. He describes his mission as something to be fulfilling the tradition, not to replace it. His inaugural message is also a clarion call to those who would follow to join his work of healing and liberation and grace. So I understand there was another inaugural address this week. Honestly, I will tell you, I intentionally didn't listen. I did listen, though, to a sermon preached this week. You know, pastors are weird because we really like sermons. It may be because we oftentimes are the one giving them and don't hear them enough. Or maybe it's just because we're called to be pastors. So this week, the Right Reverend Marianne Edgar Buddy preached a sermon at National Cathedral. That was the other reason I listened, because I was at National Cathedral just as they were finishing constructing it my senior year of high school with my church choir. It was awesome. So as I listened to Bishop Buddy, I realized that this text that we read today actually highlights the fact that Jesus has an unfinished agenda. The work he set out to do is not complete, and it's been left to us, you and I. We have been called into this ministry of healing, of liberation, of taking care of the sick, the marginalized, the imprisoned, and to help uphold the dignity of every human being because they are made in God's image, even when we dislike or disagree with them. This is Jesus' agenda. And as Jesus' followers, it's our agenda too. I'll be honest, it's not an easy agenda. And this week has been a week. For some, it probably has been what you've been waiting for. You breathe a sigh of relief as the president does exactly what he said he was coming to do. And my question for you is, how are you feeling you're going to be able to continue God's agenda? Where might your voice help keep focus on what is right and just and Jesus-like? Because I have to be honest and tell you, some of his actions and policies appear very unchristian-like to me. For others, this has been a heartbreaking week. The week has highlighted the work that has been set before us. And I'll admit, I think it feels overwhelming. So I think for those of us that feel overwhelmed, we need to take a deep breath. And remember, Jesus was born into poverty, into a community of occupation, in a world of ruthless kings and rulers. He started a movement by using a very simple agenda to announce good news to the poor, release to the captives, to give sight to the blind and to free the oppressed. In the little town of Nazareth, Jesus began his ministry by reading scripture. And the scripture formed his work for the rest of his short time on earth. He left the undone work for us to do, healing, liberation, and grace. Jesus' words remind us that we are called to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, to walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, the good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.